Heavenly Lord, your name is powerful. Your name is wonderful. Your name is the mighty God. I welcome your presence this morning. Thank you for the word of life and word of power you have committed to my mouth for my generation. And thank you so much for the words that have been declared. Because you said we would declare things to be established unto us. That means sometimes in the midst of opposition and contradictions, we'll keep on declaring the word. Because contradictions are sometimes sent by the enemy to cause us to shut our mouth. But our voice is our address in the spirit. So we are not going to keep quiet. We'll keep declaring until there's a change. We'll keep declaring until there's a transformation of lives, of families, and of everything in our city and in our nation. We'll keep declaring. Therefore, we declare over our lives. We declare over our families. We declare over our church. We declare over our city. Let thy kingdom and your will be. Father, I present every life, that everything in that life should start to align with divine purpose. And everything that Satan has deformed, Lord, we cause a reformation. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said,
amen.
And everybody shout,
amen.
Understanding the power of corporate thanksgiving. Today is a day of corporate thanksgiving to God. And we have come today to acknowledge the goodness of God in our lives as a church. Not because we've not been thanking God during the year. Not because we've not been thanking God in the course of the year. But a time must come when everybody must gather together and come to say what? Thank you. And that is what we have done and what we are doing today. Thanksgiving comes down to two key components. Thanksgiving, I'll repeat, comes down to two key components. Number one is being grateful. Is being grateful. Being grateful. Being filled with gratitude for what God has done for you. What exactly is gratitude? What does it mean? Gratitude is an agreeable emotion consisting of or accompanied with goodwill to a benefactor. Somebody who has been good to you. Somebody who has blessed you. Someone who has kept you. Someone who, in spite of the challenges, preserved your life. Don't you think that person deserved for you to take a day aside and say, let me go ahead and do what? And say, thank you. I'm reading from, this is from the 1860 Webster Dictionary. It's not a special, you can find it if you have the dictionary. It's an old one, as big as this. You find it there. It says, it's a disposition to make suitable return. I'll repeat. It's a disposition to make what? A suitable return. Suitable return. Of benefits or services that you have received. A desire to see the benefactor prosperous and happy. Somebody say, is God also happy? Of course. Of course. When you return to say thank you. When you return to lift up your voice and say, you have been so good to me. Thank you. I've not buried my children. Thank you. I've not buried my spouse. Thank you. You have kept me. I've been traveling. I flew here and there. You kept me. My airplane did not hit. This did not collapse. And you say, I'm busy, I don't have time to say thank you. Are you kidding me? To say thank you. He said, gratitude is a virtue of highest excellence. From a generous heart, and it's a proper sense of duty. That means God expects you to say what? To say thank you. If somebody has been good to you, even let us look at human beings. Somebody has been good to you. Somebody has been there. Did you see me standing here and saying, thank you for what you have done? Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Somebody has been, and not a single word of appreciation and gratitude. And you say, and the person has not done enough. He should do more. When he does more, then I will say thank you. You are not going to receive anything. You're not going to receive anything. Today is one of the most important days in the calendar of this church, where everybody must gather to say what? To say thank you. Let me share with you more about gratitude. Gratitude will unlock the fullness of life. It turns what we have into more than enough. It turns denial into acceptance. It will change chaos to order, confusion to clarity. It will turn a meal into a feast, a house into a home, a stranger into a friend. Gratitude makes sense of our past and brings peace for today and creates a vision for tomorrow. When you are grateful, you're a candidate for more. A heart of gratitude will position you to receive more. Look at 2024 is around the corner. Are we satisfied with the way we are now? Is there more in God for you? Is there more in God for me? Is there more in God for us? Then gratitude is what will unlock it, so that you can become a partaker of those things when you are willing to say, just what? Is that difficult? Does that sound too heavy to say? Does that sound too, that is too much? Is that too heavy to say? Can you say thank you? Can you say, Lord, thank you? I said, thanksgiving consists of two key components. Number one is what? Being grateful. Gratitude. You know what is number two? Number two is to acknowledge. Is to acknowledge. Because what you are forgotten, you can acknowledge. What you don't remember, you can acknowledge. By saying thank you are acknowledging the good has been done and positioning yourself to receive more. That is why you just don't say thank you to your heart. If somebody, have you noticed something? Let's even say you're walking through the door in the mall and somebody holds the door for you. What do you do after you pass? Do you just say, look at the person like this and walk away? Is that what you do? If you've been doing that, it's wrong. You say thank you. If somebody moves out of the way for you, what do you say? If somebody helps you, you're trying to carry something, the person helps you, what do you say? Do you just, maybe your something drops from your hand and then the person helps you to pick it? And then you do, is that what you do? You say thank you. You say thank you. Thanksgiving is acknowledging the one who has been good to you. And you are not going to be thankful for something you don't acknowledge. And you are definitely not going to be thankful for something that you have what? You have forgotten. So we've gathered today to acknowledge the goodness of God and to say what? Thank you. This morning, I want to take us to the example from the life of a wonderful man of God. It was a man's man called by God. He made his mistakes, just like all of us. But one thing you can't deny about him is this. He was a man who learned the heart of thanksgiving. Sometimes he will gather the entire nation to stand before God to say what? Thank you. To the extent that he was actually called a name that no other person is called in the entire scriptures. Who do you think I'm talking about? Oh, you already know. David. David. I want to take us to some scriptures. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter number 6. 2 Samuel chapter number 6. 2 Samuel chapter number what? 6. This is the account of bringing the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. Again, David gathered all the choice men. He didn't go alone. He gathered what? All the choice men of Israel. How many? 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him. From where? Bale Judah. To bring up from there the Ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim and where? Between the cherubim. So they set the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzziah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the Ark of God. And Ahio went before the Ark. Then David and all the house of Israel played what? They played what? They played music. They were not just walking. That's why I said they played music before the Lord. All kinds of instruments. Of fire, wood, harp, string instruments, tambourine, sistrums, and cymbals. And when they came to Nachon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the Ark of God and took hold of it. For the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died by the Ark of God. Somebody say, I don't understand what happened there. What happened there? Let me explain it to you. What did the Ark represents what? Presence. They carried the Ark on what? On a horse. It was one of the mistakes they made, because the dead do not carry presence. I said, the dead do not carry what? Presence. They put it on, what did they put it now? On what? On a cart. Is there life in a cart? He never told them to put the presence, his presence, the ark, on a cart. Who should carry presence? The living. The living. But they did that in their excitement. And there was consequence for that. But now, this is what makes David so special. What makes him so different from many, many of his generation and many today. That sometimes, in spite of your failures, sometimes when people make mistakes like that, a lot of people, I've made mistakes, or sometimes, look at what has happened, this God has not done this, they just remain static in an inglorious position. But look at what happened. And David became very angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day. And he said, how can the Ark of the Lord come to me? So David will not move the Ark of the Lord with him into the city of David. But David took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the Ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. How many months? And the Lord did what? Obed-Edom and all his household. And he was told the king, King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the Ark of God. So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. And so, listen now, watch it. And so it was when those bearing the Ark. So who are now people bearing the Ark? Did they place it on the oxen again? On on the Levites, the shoulders. And they carried it, and behind the ark had gone 6 paces, that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. And then David did what? Was David just walking like this? Remember when I came out, I said, will you dance before the Lord? Then David danced before the Lord with all his word. So the dancing was not just what? Just doing like this. It was what? He danced with all his might. He was jumping. He was delighted. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord, which shouting with the sound of the trumpet. Now, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Micah, Saul's daughter, looked through the window and saw King David leaping and what? Before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. So they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in his place, in the midst of the tabernacle and that David had erected for it. Then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings and everything, and distributed it amongst all the people. Look at the way they brought the presence. Look at the way he rejoiced. You know, eventually, quickly, let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 23. I don't have time. I could have gone more into this. But I just wanted to show you how to celebrate the goodness of God. Sometimes we all go into, don't let because of challenges, don't let because of disappointment, don't let anything like that stop you from celebrating the goodness of God. In fact, it's the fastest way to turn your situation around. That you look at disappointments and say, no, it doesn't matter. My God is still good. My God is still good. You look at the problems, look at the thing, and then you say, no, in spite of this, you are not thanking God for the problems. You're not thanking God for the disappointment. You are thanking God in spite of it. And when your praises will go up, praises will come down, and situation will start to be what? Transformed. And it will turn the test into testimony, the trials into trials, and then the mess into what? A message. Don't allow Satan to stop you from praising God because of a problem, because of a need, because of a challenge, because of a situation. Don't let him, because he's a master. He knows the moment he can shut your mouth, shut your voice. Your voice is your address in your spirit that will direct presence to you. He knows you are already beaten. That's why I say every disappointment is a new opportunity for a fresh appointment. You know, when they said we should leave, they did not know they were pushing us into our destiny. And we came back here. I remember that first service. I remember that song that was sung. I remember the way we were worshiping. I remember everybody, how we all gathered together here. And God looked at us and said, okay, I've seen your praises. It's risen up to me. In spite of the disappointment, in spite of you are still praising me. A few weeks after, he said, I'm giving you a campus. I remember I stood here. I said, hey, the Lord just spoke to me that he's giving us a campus. Not just one building. I said, three buildings. One for this one for that one, and then another one for that one. Somebody came to me and said, Daddy Pastor, where did you get the boldness to declare it after what happened? To be honest with you, it's just the grace of God. I heard and I spoke. And we kept declaring, God is giving us a campus. God is giving us a campus. God is giving us a campus. God is my witness. We're worshiping here and I saw the stage. Do you remember? Go and look at it. I saw the stage. I saw the lights. I saw it. I said, I just saw the stage. And I announced it to us here. We have not seen anything. We have not touched anything. We didn't know anything. But we were pressing. We were declaring. In spite of contradictions, we didn't give up. We didn't allow anything to dampen our enthusiasm. And in April, I gathered the coordinators. I said, now. Because faith without action is what? It's dead. We're setting a goal. 0 to 2 years, we must have our campus. It was a month after that the campus showed up. Don't let anything take away your praise. In fact, when the enemy thought he had given you the biggest blow, that's when you'll be able to, you should turn and say, Jesus, yeah. When he thought you'll be crying, when the enemy thought you, by now you'll be crumbled, by now you'll be depressed, when the enemy was saying, yes, I've given him, I've given her that blow, he will spiral into depression right now. You're going to look in at him face to face and say, Jesus, yeah, and confuse him. He's not down. He's not depressed. And you look at him again and say, listen to me. Because depression is what? Contradiction of terminology to the believer. Not, you are not going to take away my voice. You're not going to take away my praise. Why? Because I know that is preparing the best for me. If he's allowed it, he's allowed it for a reason. And by the time the package is delivered, it will be far, far, far better than what it was before. Look at it. He said, now these are the last words of David. Thus says David, the son of Jesse. Thus says the man raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of world. He was the worship leader of Israel. He was the first person that will be singing. Amen. That is why pastors should not be in the office when praise worship is going on. Everybody must be in the sanctuary praising God together, worshiping God together. Are you listening to me? You should not be, oh, what is the time now? 10:30. They will still be doing praise worship. Pastor will not have started giving the word now. I will join them. You are wrong. Hello, somebody. Your praise worship is what you offer to him so that his presence can word, can come to you. Are you listening to me? Your praise worship is your expression of thanksgiving to him. It will make you attractive to him and it will attract him to you. Hello. The word is good. You receive, but your worship is your offering to him. When it goes up, it comes down, so that you can experience him. And don't let worship stop here. When you get home, let it continue. Praise God. Give him thanks. Hallelujah. Let this continue. Let it continue. Because out of the abundance of the heart, let those things continue to flow. Continue to flow. So you are constantly creating presence. Presence around you. And where presence is, demons cannot stand there. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. What happens when we give thanks? I want to share with us 7 benefits of giving thanks to God. 7 benefits of giving thanks to God. What happens? Does it matter when we give thanks to God? Absolutely. Does something happen when you give thanks to God? Absolutely. Are there benefits when you give thanks to God? Definitely. Let's go to the book of Psalm 103. Psalm 103 from verse number 1. The book of Psalms 103 from verse number 1. I'll start to read. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. So you know the song. This is where they got the song from. A psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and everything that is within me, what? Bless his holy name. And then he now continue. Bless the Lord again, O my soul, and what? I will not, that means I will acknowledge his benefits. What are those benefits? Number 1, forgives all our iniquities. Number 1 benefit, God word forgives all our iniquities. Number 2, heals our diseases. Number 3, redeems our life from destruction. Number 4, crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Number 5, Satisfy our mind with. So how does it satisfy your mind with good things? By renewing your youth. Amen. So that when you are 60 like me, you can still run up a 13-story stairs. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody said, did you do it? Oh, yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. He's renewing your youth. 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 Amen. You're looking younger than your age. Why? Because you're blessing his holy name. And then number five, number what is that? No, I think we're number one is what? He forgives our sins. Number two, heals our diseases. Number three, redeems us from hell. Number four, crowns us with love and mercy in paradise. Number five, wraps us with his goodness. Number six, I will come there. I will return there. But let me show you something. You know what? He said this to me. He said, when I ask my people to bless me, whenever we ask, bless the Lord, you know, what do we do? What do we do? Whenever I say, let's bless the name of the Lord, what do we do?
Hallelujah.
We say, hallelujah. When I say, whenever the word, let's bless the name of the Lord, what do you do?
Bless the Lord.
You bless the Lord. You worship him. When you say bless the Lord, what do?
We give him praise and
adoration. You give him praise and adoration. And you know what he said to me? He said, my people don't know how to bless me. He said, because the word bless is not a passive word. It's an action word. You are not truly blessed if you are not what? Not just engaged if you are not taking action. In fact, the direct meaning of the word bless involves acting. The word is a verb, it's not a noun. And that when you are blessing him, you are engage, you are acting. Either you are kneeling before him, either you are, you know, you are either you are giving to him, either whatever, there must be an action. He said, when they bless me, they do not receive the benefits. That when you learn to bless me, he said, I will not forget his benefits. He said, the benefits are what? My response to your actions. So without any of those actions, then you don't receive the benefits. So blessing God is not just singing. It's not just saying hallelujah. It's not just doing that. It involves what? An action that the Spirit of God will lead you to do. So when you are truly blessing him, is there any action that you need to take? Is there anything, for example, you can't just say, oh, hallelujah, bless. No. It is active. It involves action. There must be things that you're doing to activate his blessing and to cause his response. And he says, when you do that, then you what? He said, the benefits will follow you. And what are those benefits? It will know what? He will forgive our sins. Did you notice he didn't say, and he forgave our sins? Why? Why didn't he say he forgave our sins? He heals our diseases. Crowns us with loving kindness. All of them are present continuous or present tense. Present tense. Present tense. He said, because. You know the reason why I put it like that? Because your present help in time of need. That means that whatever situation you are going through, know this, that you do not lack help. So that is why none of mine can be depressed. Because when you realize that there's help available for you, in whatever you are going through, you need healing. Maybe others need forgiveness of sin. Maybe others need healing. He said, I'm present with you when you learn to bless me. when you learn to bless me. Amen. Let me read it to you from the Message Bible. The Message Bible. So what are those benefits? What are those things that God does when we learn to bless him? Number one, he forgives your sins. Everyone. Oh, is there? He heals your diseases. What? A few people? Everyone. He redeems you from hell. Save your life. He crowns you with love and mercy. A paradise of crown. He wraps you in goodness. Number five. Beauty eternal. He renews your youth. You're always young in his presence. When I was young in the faith, I thought, because of many pictures I've seen, that God is a very old man. And they say Ancient of Days. And in the Yoruba language, what do they call him now? That means somebody, and some artist will show him like this, as an old man, with long hair, with everything white. He's already old. God is like that. And I say, hey, because he's been there for thousands, what happens when somebody has been there for thousands, he has grown old, he's wrinkled, everywhere he's like this, he's like that. And he said, no. Then why is he called Ancient of Days? Because he's been there before the beginning. And what? Thereafter. Then why is he not old? Because youth is always renewed in presence. The more you worship him, the more you spend time with him, the more he renews your youth. Does it mean that the person is not going to grow old? No. Yes, there will still be wrinkle here. There will still be all those things there. But you know what happens? Your strength is renewed continually. Amen. Have you seen people who are far, far older than their age? The answer to that is spend time in his presence. Spend time in his presence. Renews your age. And he says this, God makes everything come outward. He puts victims back on there. Did he cause everything to come out right for us? In spite of what they did at Makechne? Which one is better, Makechne, and where we are now, where we are going now? Eh? Who wants to return to Makechne? Can I see your hands there? Can I see your hands up? No. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. We have said what? We have said what to them? We have said bye-bye. I almost said bye-bye to Jagba, but I won't go there, you know. But we have said bye-bye. We have said bye-bye. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And he showed Moses how he went about his walk. When you spend time in his presence, there will be light for you. You will know what to do. You know what step to take. Let me tell you, concerning this campus, and this is what would define us. We are pulling far, far, far beyond our weight. And it's because of his presence. Because of his presence. Because of his presence. Because of his presence. And let me say this. Because let me quickly go to why is it that people don't thank God? Why is it that people don't thank God? One of the major reasons is because you are comparing yourself. You are looking at yourself. Look at my mate. Look at what they have done. Look at this person. Oh, my classmate has been married. And look at me. Oh, look at my friend. We got to this place together. The person has bought two houses. I'm here to buy one. You are comparing yourself. And do you know, as you keep on comparing yourself, it will dampen your enthusiasm. And you are discouraged. And you keep on comparing yourself. You know, it doesn't matter. Can the hand of the Lord come upon you? And you outrun every Ahab to the gates of Jezreel? How many buildings did God give us with the campus? Three. How many?
Three.
Supposing we've got, how about those who got one about 10 years ago? Eh? Can God's hand come upon you and instead of one, give you three? Don't compare. We all have our lanes. Stop comparing yourself. Stop looking at it. Stop looking around. You look unto God, the author and what? Finisher of our faith. But all my friends are married. Oh yeah, by the time he gives you the package of the husband is reserved for you, they will come back and say, how did you do it? Eh? How did you end up with this one? Are you listening to me? Amen. Oh yes. How about you can name it in any area. I've chosen, it's a personal decision I've made. You can be carrying fire on your head. It doesn't bother me. I'm facing my God. Totally focus on him because I know he's able, abundantly able, to deliver and to save. Is a abundantly able to deliver those who trust in, that he will give you your own package in the fullness of time that will be tailored for you. All others, you know the description I can liken it to. While others go to Big W, they go to where to buy whatever they want to wear, it will arrange for your own tailor that will give it to you. What? Customize. Build to fit. Eh? Build to fit. How many pompons did we carry to build the campus? Eh? How many whatever did we carry to build what we have there? How many knees did you knock before you can fix it there? What did he give to us? Fit, ready for use. Amen. That is what he does. While others are going there, he will give you your own. Fit to use. Fit for the package. This is very, very important. Because when you don't thank God, God's anger is kindled against you. It's not my word. Let's go there and I will close. When you don't thank God, 2 Chronicles chapter number 32, from 24 to 26. I'm reading from the Expanded Bible. At that time, Hezekiah became so sick, he almost died. When he prayed to the Lord spoke to him and gave him a sign, miraculous sign. God gave him a sign that he would live for another 15 years. 25. But Hezekiah did not thank God for his kindness, was not grateful for the kindness shown him because he was so proud. So the Lord was angry with him and the people of Judah and Jerusalem. Whenever we refuse to be thankful to God, what happens? The anger of God will be on the person and by extension, his entire community. So it's important that we learn to thank God. Number two, when we don't thank God, what happens? Our understanding is what? Darkened. When you need light, how do I handle this? No light. What decision should I take? I don't know what to do. What is this? You don't know what to do. Why? Because the person has not been thankful. Always comparing. Always looking at what has not been done. Always saying, look at me, all my friends, all my this, they've done this, look at me. But what happens is this, it darkens your understanding further. Romans chapter 1 from verse number 20. Romans 1 from verse 20. It reads, and I quote, for since creation of the world, its invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without what? Because although they knew God, 21, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were what? Darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. In conclusion, listen. You can't see the answer looking at the problems. You can't see the miracle looking at the need. If you want to experience his wonder, embrace his word. I'll repeat. You can't see the answer looking at what? The problems. You can't see the miracle while your gaze is fixed on the need. But if you want to experience his wonder, embrace his word. Embrace the prophetic word. Declare the prophetic word. Declare the word that God has given to us. Because the word that you do not declare is a word you will never experience. Even though God is giving us the word, it must become your own. It must become your declaration. It must become your confession. It must become the word that you are standing upon. Because he didn't give us the word to decorate. He gave us the word for purpose of manifestation. Rise upon your feet. Let's rise upon our feet and start to thank God for the word. We have received this morning, this afternoon, this day. Thank him that you are here. Thank him that you could be thankful. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him for everything that God has done for you this year. Thank him. I want us to do something right now. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. Name them. Thank him for what God did for you as a person. Thank him. Name them. Thank him. Thank him for what God did for you, for what God has done for you. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. What shall we say unto the Lord? All we have to say is thank you, Lord. What shall we say unto the Lord? All we have to say is thank you. We thank you, thank you. We thank you, thank you, Lord. All we have to say is thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we have heard your word. Thank you so much, O Lord, for the privilege. Because nobody can come to the Son unless the Father draws him. Thank you for bringing us to the Son today. Thank you for helping us to understand that when we bless your name, it involves action. And, O Lord, my God, we are so thankful. We are so grateful. We worship you. Thank you for our giving as a result of our thanks. Father, we bless your name. Thank you, wonderful Savior. Lord, we return today to say thank you. And thank you because you keep everyone till the end of the year. And everyone under the sound of my voice will again return, not in this place, but at the campus next year, December, to say what again? Thank you. Father, we bless your name. And we will not be like this. Because we've returned to say thank you, testimonies will have abounded. And, oh Lord, my God, you will have surprised us. Don't things that are totally, that they are unimaginable right now. Because that is what happens. When someone knows how to say thank you, he abounds. And, Lord, you cause your people to abound. We give you praise, Lord Jesus. We worship and we adore you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.